Now, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how many people forgot to set their clocks ahead? I love it. It's a good morning when I can get a chuckle like that. But you made it. And God bless you who woke up and went, oh no, and still came. Do you know how many people would use that as an excuse not to? So God bless you for it. Amen. I have received a letter before we get too deep into it. And you know my stance on this. So I am going to be supporting that we do this when the time comes. But as you know, that the Maryland State Legislature, in their infinite pile of wisdom, notice I used the word pile, decided that gay marriage should be allowed here in this state. And inevitably, there's a referendum coming, and I have information on the upcoming referendum. I will be printing it out for us to sign and return. They need 55,000 signatures, I think is what it is. Something around about 55,000 signatures in order to get this on the ballot to be voted on. I don't think we'll have any problem with that, but when we have the Maryland's First Lady make the statement, we're all very diverse, and that's what makes us so strong. But religion, now I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. But religion should never play a part in what the laws of our state are. This is the wife, an attorney, and the wife of the leader of this state. And that's what we're trying to convey to religious leaders who are opponent of the bill that believe that for some reason, religion has some role to play in this. And quite frankly, we believe that it doesn't. You can look that up in the Baltimore Sun. That is a direct quote. Brothers and sisters, we have to stand for this. We have to stand up and say no. There is a place for everything. And marriage, as it says here in this letter that I received from Diane Eves. Should we know her? Right, I thought so. Used to be the secretary here. Says, it seems that First Lady O'Malley has not considered the fact that marriage preexisted earthly government. And therefore, marriage itself is not a civil issue. So there is some information here, how to go online. I'm going to go through it and figure it all out and get it in here, because I know not everybody has the ability to access a computer. But we are going to stand on this. I've made it very, very clear, my stance. And you have responded to me in as of the same. And so we will go forward from that. What a beautiful morning it is to be here in God's house. And I am thankful for it. I want to say hello to Brother Tom. As you know, I'm getting my periodic checkup there. Good to see you this morning, Brother Tom. If not, then let us put ourselves forward in front of the Lord. And if you have that unspoken request that you need to have heard, just that hand up and down as we bow forward and receive Him. Thank you. Heavenly Father, strengthen us as we prepare to face the enemy again. And I say enemy. You know how we stand here. We stand on the Word of God. And you made it very clear to us that this abomination shall not be tolerated. We pray that we get the support and strength from those who will sign it to stop this from happening, because, Lord, we woefully look forward to, if it is continued, what will be Thy judgment. Strengthen us, Father, and those who will go forth seeking out to have this petition signed, that it will reach who it needs to reach, that it will get the numbers that it needs, and that when the time is put forth, this act of stupidity will be soundly defeated. Thank you, Father, for remembering us. I say remembering us because if you would dare forget us, we would perish. And you remember us in all things, when we struggle, when we lean, when we fall, when we get off the path. You find us again. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us. Thank you, Father, for giving us the things which keep us alive, the thoughts, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, all those things that lift us up. for prayers answered, for operations that have come through very successfully. Hear our prayers as we pray for those who are facing operations and in times of trial, Father, that you would lift them up even further. And maybe you would use this time to fully let yourself be known and turn their hearts from the world to you. We pray, Father, for the unspoken requests, those that are laid here in this box, written down between you and whomever. That hand that goes up and down. You know that need. We commend them to you, Father, for your care and safekeeping. Father, I beg you to please be with the leaders of this country as they seem more and more determined to take us away from a nation founded on the principle to worship Jesus Christ. That religious freedom. To the freedom to plunge ourselves into the abyss. And being led so to do it. Our world is governed by men. Our lives are ruled by you. Please be with those unable to be here today, Father, for whatever reason keeps them away. And we thank you for the care workers, which is every hand that watches over us. In whatever capacity. Lift them up through this time as they work, as they look over us, as they put forward to see that our lives are made better. Thank you, Father. Hear us as we pray the way Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Set of scripture in Luke. Jesus is talking about people to repent, and why would he do that? Why would he care that much? That's the question we always need to ask ourselves, and that's the question we always need to remember when we start to spurn the love of Jesus Christ, thinking that it's just a blanket thing. Oh, God loves everybody. God does love everybody. He loves them enough to discipline them. Jesus is calling out to repent. Luke chapter 13. Verses 1 through 8. Now there was some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they had suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died in the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Very unique set of scriptures that we don't often talk about And we're going to look into today, because we have been given another chance. How wonderful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set aside our hearts for what will go on when we leave here. And let us just be focused fully and wholly on You, learning to know You, learning to understand just a fraction more that which You have laid out for us. Please, dear Father, help us be able to divine from this message that is given by You the needs, wants, and desires that You would have for us in the time to come. And let us use it to strengthen us as we continue to teach and talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. I am in a storytelling mood. And why? Well, number one, I love telling stories. I got good at it because, you see, as a kid growing up, I got into a lot of trouble. So I had to fabricate them to think I could maybe get my way out of a few things. It worked never. But my father listened to them just the same. And then to prove to me how much he loved me, he would discipline me a lot. Not that I needed it, but it made me grow up as a storyteller. But why am I in such a storytelling mood today? Because I have made a huge misjudgment. I messed up. The preacher, the man with the plan. I keep forgetting, and have been forgetting, until recently, that I was given a second chance. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and on down the line. Constantly been given chances to either step forward or fall down. But never had it taken away from me to continue on. I got so used to it that I often tend to write people off. They'll never be worth anything. I don't know what you're going to do about that person. People call me all the time. What am I going to do? Well, you ain't going to do nothing. Well, call me again. You're going to have a different answer. I'm going to remember why I stand here. I'm going to remember what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm going to remember what the Lord gives me each and every time. So I'm in a storytelling mood. And because I'm in a storytelling mood, I'm going to be a little bit easier on you today. I tend to get my sermons fired up. And I get up here and I rant and I rave and I look for everybody's toes to step on. Every now and then I need to stop and remind you how beautiful our God is. Those are the words. How beautiful our God is. He gave us Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He gave us another chance. We get so worked up in, and I do this, man. I'm like, all right, what am I going to, oh boy, I'll tell you what, we're going to make sure we never make this mistake again. And put on, I often forget, just let's have a little fun for a little bit. Let's relax and listen to what God is. Yeah, there's going to be some meat to the sermon. And yeah, there's going to be some strength to it. But today I just want to tell stories around this scripture and around what this week meant to me. I get lost. We get lost in writing people off. And if you say you ain't done it, you're wrong. You don't want to do it sometimes. You don't mean to do it sometimes, but you've done it. It started on Sunday, but became prevalent on Monday. Monday afternoon, I had to go to the hospital. I had to go and see Chuck. I had to find out how he made out. It had been a long day. It had started at 4:30 that morning. Every morning this week, except for Friday, started at 4:30 in the morning. And I pulled into the parking lot up there at the hospital, and I was in a pretty good mood because God knew that He wanted me to go there. And so what did He give me at the Meredith Hospital? A front row space. You don't understand. If you've been out there, you know what that means. Woohoo! Boy, look at that. Well, I whipped that big old excursion in there. Back that thing around in Mr. Truck Driver style. I jumped out of that truck. I was in a great mood, and then I almost got run over by a Saturday, by a woman who came in there sideways. I thought she was coming in for a pit stop on NASCAR day. She stopped that car in a handicapped parking space, her and two kids, and she jumped out of that car, and I went, It's typical. Handicapped sticker in the car. So you think just because you got a little problem with your toe or whatever, you can place yourself in that because you don't feel like walking. I'm mumbling to myself in a rather disdainful mood as I was walking to that door, and I spun around to look, and so help me, the door hit me, because as I was standing there watching her put her son in a wheelchair, I wished that car would have hit me. How many of you Christians have made that mistake? But it started Sunday. I've been telling this story all week long of Leroy. Better set up front and center, Leroy, because you're on point today. I had written you off. It's the nature of the beast. I had talked to you countless number of times. I thought, that feller ain't never going to give his life to Christ. And don't let a bunch of you in here sit and say, oh, you knew he was going through all along, or I'll come down and sit beside of you. He walked up here last Sunday and shattered everything. Gave his heart to Christ. And in the avenues following it, he not only gave it, he's been talking about it. He's been sharing it with his children who have come back into his life. He's been saying he's sorry. He didn't just bite into it, he grabbed onto it. And he taught me that we are all given a second chance. And I've been walking around telling everybody this week, the old boy at church that I thought would never take that trip, that would never take a look at his old life and do that 180 and say, Jesus Christ, help me step forward on Sunday and totally set me back. Thank you for that. And reminded me to be humble and don't be so proud and quit being so wound up all the time. Because each and every one of us have been given a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, on down the line. Amen.
Amen.
That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That's what we come here for. We get given that chance. I'd like to introduce you to Jesse Hyatt. Anybody in here know who Jesse Hyatt is? From Peru, Iowa. Maybe a couple of you in here know him. He farmed in Peru, Iowa, oh, about the late 1870s. Nobody in here that old? Jesse Hyatt farmed out in Peru, Iowa, oh, about 1869, 70. And Jesse had a tree on his farm that would not stop growing in the middle of the field. And he'd cut that tree down and he'd take that thing to the stump. And every spring that tree would reshoot. And he would cut and it would reshoot. And this went on for 3 summers. Finally he said, all right, if you're going to grow, grow. I can't wait to see what's all about you. The tree grew. He even gave it some attention. A little fertilizer, a little bit of love. Kept the weeds gussed down away from it. That tree started to grow. And suddenly, without warning, that tree began to pop fruit. It was an apple tree. Well, the first year it pulled the fruit loose on the vine, Jesse walked out there and got one and bit into this thing and had become taken by how sweet and how wonderful an apple that was. And so the first thing he did was he made sure nobody else knew about it. He kept them apples for himself. Mmm, boy, I got me. And I would have probably been the same way. Because I know how much I like apples when they come fresh. But Jesse decided he would enter those apples into the local county fair and see what they did. And the local county fair, the judge there was a man by the last name of Stark. Anybody know who Starks were? I see a couple heads shaking. You might know where I'm going. You know who he was? Stark took a bite out of that apple and lost his mind. And before he could figure out who brought that apple in, the fair was over and a year went by. And he made sure he was the judge the next year when Jesse brought them special apples and he hunted Jesse down. He said, I need to know about these. And Jesse took him to the farm where this tree stood, and they fell in love with it. And the Stark of the Stark brothers of the Stark Orchards of Missouri fell so madly in love with that apple, he wouldn't sell them the tree because he didn't want them to tear it up. So they bought the ground where the tree sat on a rental lease with the express understanding that nobody touched it. And they sent special men out there to tend this tree that was never given a chance. And that tree grew and produced an apple today known as, anybody want to try it? Red Delicious. The Red Delicious apple. I went to the store today. I thought, man, I'm going to buy about 50 of them things and bring them in and hand them out. Apples are a little bit more expensive than I thought they were. So you ought to go get your own. But think of me while you're doing it. Give it another chance. This tree that had been stomped in the ground. That tree's still there today as of 1998. There is a picture of it with a big rock in a field that had been cleared all the way around it. It doesn't produce fruit anymore because it has done its work. Now it's just allowed to be pruned and blossom. The Red Delicious apple. And they still, to this day, hold the patent on that apple. All because that tree was given a second chance. That's what we've been given, brothers and sisters. That's what we've been given. Every time we have tried to grow just a little bit, the world has stomped us in the ground. Every time you've sought to break away from things, and I know how hard it was for some of you because I was there, the world stomped you in the ground. Oh, you can't do it. You can't do that. You can't come up from where you were. Paul Leatherman, you can't preach. I mean, I know you're a preacher's son, but look, man, we all know who you were. You ain't allowed to get up there and do that. And I believed them. I believed them to the point where I became my own person again. And God said, I have had enough of this. And he smacked me around pretty good. And he said, now I've given you a second chance. Use it. Brothers and sisters, that's what he did to you. We go back to the scripture. We think about that red delicious apple when we listen to Jesus talking about the fruit tree, about the fig tree, about repenting, about seeing that there's a second chance. Come back with me. The first part of that deals with the fact that who's more guilty of sin? Is one sin greater than the other? Is a sin a sin? Do I, Paul Leatherman, goes to church on Sunday, not the preacher, let's say, just me, good old Paul, goes to church on Sunday, sings the songs, reads the scripture, listens to the nut behind the podium, never actually took the walk, never actually said I do, never actually tried to live my life that way, but I'm a good person. Yep, my neighbor down the road, he drinks, he gambles, he cusses, he does everything he can. He don't go to church on Sunday morning. Am I less guilty of going to hell than he is? No. Jesus Christ is saying that. He's laying it out for us. I'm going to give you another chance. I love what he says. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the Galileans because they suffered this way? Do you think just because that person got crucified that it made him more of a sinner than that person that didn't? A sinner is a sinner is a sinner is a sinner is a sinner. Period. But I'll give you another chance. Read on down with me a little bit. Let's go on down to the parable of the fig tree, verse 6. Then he told his parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit in it and didn't find any. That's God. God's the owner of the vineyard, and we are all the trees. He comes to look at us for fruit. Doesn't see it. Keeps looking, doesn't see it. Keeps looking, doesn't see it. And eventually he decides, what's the Bible say? There will come a time when the hearts will be hardened. When I read a statement like that crazy woman in the state house made, I wonder just how hard her heart has become. She's supposed to be a Christian Catholic. Let me read that again. We are all very diverse, and that's what makes us so strong. I don't disagree with that. I'm a little bit big. Some people are a little bit skinny. Some people are short. Some people are tall. That's diversity. You got man and woman. That's real diversity. But religion should never play a part in what the laws of our state are. And that's what we're trying to convey to religious leaders who are opponents of the bill that believe for some reason, religion has some role to play in this. And quite frankly, we believe that it doesn't. Says it'll harden their hearts. God will continue to look for fruit until he doesn't see it. What's Jesus saying? Reading on, verse 7. So he said to the man that took care of his vineyard for 3 years now, I've been coming back to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? The God of love, talking to the vineyard worker, Jesus Christ. God said that. I've had it. What'd he do? He flooded the world. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He cracked the ground open and swallowed up his own people. Sent snakes after him. Read it. It's all in there. When he gets mad. So he says to him, he points it out. That tree, who that tree is. We represent that. Not producing any fruit. I'm tired of it. It's taking up space. I can put a new seedling there. Cut it down. And what's the vineyard worker say? He says, wait. I'll give it another chance. I'll fertilize. I'll work. I'll love it. Let it bear fruit. When Jesus Christ said that, the Father said, okay, that's where you pay for it. Anybody doubt it? This gave us another chance. How wonderful. How wonderful. We learn to read these scriptures and see them a little bit further on. Even Jesus Christ knows that at some point in time, there will be those lost. Verse 9, if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. He's calling for you to repent from your sins. If you was this person, the day you accepted Jesus Christ, you ain't. If you truly accepted him, you walk away from it. My father tells a great story about taking somebody in the Cherry Run River up at Johnstown. He was going to baptize him. He stopped at a stump on the way out, put his wallet, his spectacles down, laid out his plug, chewing tobacco, two packs of cigarettes, a pipe tobacco, matches, and I don't know what else. Went down in order three times. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Stopped by the stump, put back in his billfold, his spectacles, his cigarettes, his pipe tobacco and everything. Put a plug in and walked out of the riverbank. Now, I ain't saying that's going to take you to hell, but what I am saying is you're not thinking about change. But that's what Jesus is saying. Let me try to change him. You were this, I give you a second chance to be this. It ain't easy sometimes switching from this to this. Believe me. But you're forgiven. And you're given another chance. How wonderful. Thomas Edison. Everybody in this room who's heard me preach knows how I feel about that man. If I ever finish building my time machine, after I go back to the 1940s and buy up all the tractors before they go to the scrap drives, I'm going hunting for Tom Edison. Because I want to know him. Thomas Edison worked 2,000 different failures to produce a cheap burning light bulb. Do not be mistaken that he invented the light bulb. He did not. He was looking for a way to make the filament work within that structure that it would burn and be able to be mass produced. And so they're close to getting it right. And a young boy in a shop at Greenfield Village, if you ever have a chance and you get to go to Greenfield Village, you can sit in the chair where Thomas Edison finally figured out that using human hair as a wound filament would work. I want to go there and sit in that chair, so I haven't made it yet. He gave the bulb, after so many failures, to a young man and said, all right, let's get upstairs and put it in place. And while the young man was going upstairs, he tripped and dropped and broke it. Smashed it to pieces. Now let me set the scene for you so you can understand. You drop a bulb today, what do? You go to that cabinet above the toilet in the bathroom where the bulbs are at, don't you? You pull out a brand new bulb, you put it in there. They had to press the metal and remachine it. They had to reset and cook the electrodes. They had to rerun the wires up. They had to rewind a filament. They had to re-blow the glass bulb. And when it was all done and that bulb was ready to go in, Thomas Edison walked over to that young man and said, here, take it upstairs. And he said, but I can't. He said, the chance I'm giving you, you know what you did. I know you'll take care of from here on. And of course he did. Who here likes the fact that we were given another chance? Say amen. Amen. You're going to do something with it, ain't you? That's what you got to think about when you look at a red delicious apple. Can you imagine what life would be like without red delicious apples? Oh, the horror. And yet a tree that nobody thought would do anything, would never produce anything, that would never be anything, was given a chance. And yet each one of you who sit in this room, I know some of you took the name of Jesus Christ into your heart when you were very young, and some of you waited until you were later on after you had let the world beat on you for a while. But each and every one of you were given another chance. Use that lesson to talk to someone else. Amen? Amen. Given another chance, how wonderful. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, and I start by talking to you first, please. I know that your love for us, you want us to have everything, and yet we constantly mess up. I know that in your infinite love for us, you will discipline us. I know that like the people that were talking to Jesus thought that it was you, Father, who were disciplining those who were more sinful than the others. And the honest truth is no. All who sins, unless they repent, shall perish. All who sins, unless they take in the name of Jesus Christ and profess their faith in Him and are washed in the blood that cleans them, shall perish. And yet those who have reached out are given another chance. How wonderful. Thank you, Father. Thank you for lifting us up and for emboldening us to be able to go out and speak so freely in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that you be with each and every brother and sister in here today, whom are diverse, and yet we are all the same. We are all God's children, and we all seek to stand on the Word of God. I ask that you give them the strength as they leave here today to labor for you in the week to come, letting people know how wonderful it was to see someone whom many discarded reach for that second chance and teach us a lesson. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's children shouted, amen. Amen. If there is a particular need here today, I invite you to come forward. If you need the strengthening of prayer, if you need to know Christ even closer, I invite you up. I invite you because I don't want to see you leave home without it. As we sing this last hymn, let us prepare to focus on Him.
Number 552, would you please stand?
Draw me nearer, nearer. cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul grow up with a steadfast hope,
and I would ask us, our close personal friend, the Yoders, the mother of the wife, Devin, is very, very sick and will spend 3 days.
Yeah, my friend has to go down and take care of her for a few days.
Devin will be down there taking care of her.
Probably for like the next 2 weeks.
She's very, very ill. And so we would ask that you would lift up the Smith family. I'll understand. And now to each and every one of you who are gathered here today, I ask the blessings of heaven be laid upon you. I ask that you be made strong until we meet here again, either at prayer meeting, Bible study, whatever draws us back to these four walls on Sunday morning. And if we are not to be together then let us see each other on God's golden shore where we will rejoice in Him. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I pray upon you each and every all. Amen.
Amen.